Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." There's a couple of instances in which the disciples were ready to rebuke people for the way that they either interacted with Jesus or even the way that they followed Jesus. And it seems to be that they had a little bit of that Pharisee attitude that Jesus rebukes among the Pharisees of, you know, this better than everybody else kind of attitude. I don't know if that's really what's going on with the disciples, but and I get this impression that everybody that follows Jesus needed to kind of fall in line behind them. And that's supported by the questioning that comes at some points in which they ask, you know, who's going to be first in the kingdom? And, you know, can we sit on your right and left? Those questionings that come along the way. And so when these people are bringing their children, they're thinking, well, this is not what discipleship is. But Jesus says, actually, this illustrates something that I want to teach you. And he does. You know, don't hinder the children. Let them come to me. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. He's not saying that only children could be in the kingdom, but he's using this as an illustration. He says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And children have an open mind and a curiosity. You know, they want to investigate. They want to learn. They want to figure things out. It's interesting to watch a child that might get a new toy and they're figuring out that toy. And maybe it's one of these toys that's sort of like a puzzle, you know, certain shapes fit in certain things, or maybe it's matching them up, but they're thinking all of it over and they're looking at it from a perspective that you and I don't get to look at it from, because experience has changed the way we see something. We immediately know exactly how that toy is supposed to work. But to them, they don't immediately know that, and so they're figuring it out. And I think that there's some application to be made regarding our discipleship along those same lines, because children want to investigate, they want to learn, they want to figure it out. And sometimes adults are blinded by their preconceived notions. You know, they're already thinking they've got it figured out, and if they think they've already got it figured out, then they're not very open to anything that's outside of what that perception is. They don't see it the same way. So not only should they approach God, these children would approach God with that curiosity to know him, but also with innocence. You know, there's nothing to hinder that relationship. We need to be innocent in the eyes of God, free of sin, in order to be able to be with him. And of course, that happens by being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Then you have this rich ruler. that asks this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. He already knows this man, even though they've probably never met up to this point on the earth. But Jesus knows everybody. He knows the hearts. So he says, you know the commandments, you know, regarding adultery and murder and stealing and bearing false witness and honoring your parents. And the rich young ruler, he justifies himself with the statement, well, I've kept all of these from my youth. And I think that this ruler knows enough about the teachings of Jesus to know that there's a little more to it than that. And so he's asking this question, I think genuinely, because he knows that there's a little bit more to the story. But again, Jesus, knowing his heart, knows exactly what holds this man back. And so he says, one thing you still lack. There's one hindrance still in your life. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. His riches were a hindrance to him. And so when he heard these things, he became sad, for he was extremely rich. And then Jesus says how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. When somebody is wealthy, they tend to, you know, trust their riches. They don't express a dependence upon God the same way that someone who is in need does. Excuse me. Now, the disciples, they look at this from a different perspective. They say, well, then who can be saved? They understand that there is a certain amount of this world's goods that you have to have in order to get by. You've got to be able to support your family. You've got to be able to get, you know, clothing and food and housing and these different things that are needed for us to get by. And there's that natural inclination to want to improve those things. And so he's saying, you know, that this that you're teaching is opposed to what we feel we need to do. So who could be saved then? Because there's a conflict between the physical needs and the spiritual needs. He said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. So the things that man thinks are impossible, he says, no, they are truly possible with God. But Peter speaks up then and says, see, we have left our homes and followed you. He says, we've given up things in order to follow you. And Jesus says, there is no one who has left house, wife, brothers, parents, children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. So he says, Peter basically says, look, we have set aside things of this world in order to follow you. Put these two together. You've got the rich young ruler that doesn't understand that his riches are holding him back. You have the disciples that state, we've made sacrifices in order to follow you. And Jesus points out that if you're willing to sacrifice to be in the kingdom, that you will find greater treasures than what you sacrificed. You will get back many times more. Now, that's very difficult for people. It's difficult because look at what he's talking about. House, okay, maybe it'd be a little bit easier to give up my house. Wife? I mean, I made a lifelong commitment to her. Brothers? Well, maybe you're not quite as close to your siblings. Parents? We have a close connection with them. We feel a responsibility to take care of them in their old age. Children? You know, if you have children, you have a responsibility toward them. And he's saying, leaving these for the sake of the kingdom of God. He's not saying you have to sever all ties, but he's saying if any of these things were a hindrance to you, the way the rich young ruler had the hindrance of wealth, you have to be willing to leave them behind. And if you're willing to do that, then you will find greater riches. Think about today. What could be holding you back? What's holding you back from full commitment to God? What's holding you back from fully serving Him? I think we need to seriously answer that question from time to time. And maybe you've been asking yourself that question long enough that the answer is, I've already let those things go. Well, then you need to look for the blessings of God that have come because you let them go. But at the same time, maybe you're still in that process. And maybe some honest introspection is needed to realize that There are some things that might be holding you back. These are things that regard, you know, that need to be regarded very seriously. These are things that need to be prayed about, that we see them honestly. And then we need to embrace instead of looking back. Embrace that we've had to leave those things. And it doesn't have to be relationships. He focused a lot on relationships in that comment. But it can be things. Sometimes it can even be pleasures of this world that you've got to leave behind. But you have to be willing, because God is greater than all of them. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.